Let's listen to some funny songs. Songs that will be cheery and funny. I'm in the, it's called Sony Plaza. It's at 55th and Madison, I think. And, I don't know, it's kind of nice. I'm outside of Starbucks. Just in this, like, sort of public area. Just a lot of tables and chairs, but it's kind of nice. This is sort of reminds me of Vancouver. It's just, I don't know, places to sit and drink coffee is kind of what Vancouver's all about. And there's a surprising number of semi-homeless-looking folk here. There's a lot of that in Vancouver, too. Although not everything's the same, because there is a gigantic inflated Spider-Man above the entrance, like huge, like 2-3 stories tall. Good old New York man is fucking wacky. Anyway, I'm gonna start off with some Bruce McCullough. You may recall him from The Kids in the Hall. Pretty famous in the States, super ultra famous in Canada. So he's got two albums, and they're not, I don't know, they're nice, because they're not like super hilarious funny. They're just kind of generally funny, but in a way that, like, you know, usually you get a comedy album, you don't listen to it very often. But this is more just like an album. I could easily see listening to these, you know, just tossing them in to listen to. Anyway, this is from his second album called Drunk Baby Project. And this is a little song about aliens taking over the Earth. And then a second song about Bob Seger. They kind of work together. So let's enjoy some Bruce McCullough, shall we?
Yes, caller, go ahead.
Well, my point is, how come there are so many lonely people?
I don't understand.
Well, okay, it's like a dance, right? Life's like a dance.
Sure, that's what the country songs say.
And why don't those lonely people just pair up? Well, why don't they just get together? Like, I have a boyfriend, and he likes to watch basketball, maybe too much, but we have a lovely time, and we love each other, and we're not lonely, and I think all those lonely people should just pair up. They should just get together. Because, like, at a dance, you know, if you're a wallflower, you shouldn't be, you know?
Well, then maybe it should be sort of like at a dance where you can go up to someone and say, I see you and your wife cuddling in bed. May I cut in?
Well, I don't know about that.
Or maybe, excuse me, do you mind if I cut in and open Christmas gifts with your family for a while?
I don't know about that. Well,
or, excuse me, are you walking down the aisle? May I step in and marry that bride that you've selected?
Well, anyway, I'm not lonely. And to all those lonely people out there, and there's sure a lot of them who listen to the radio, pair up.
When the aliens came down to Earth, they immediately understood everything. How motors worked, how matter grew and eroded, the death of the veranda. The only thing that puzzled them that day and night was, why is there laugh tracks on TV? It didn't compute. It made their gadgets go gaga. It's hard to explain a laugh track to an alien. It's so true it should be a cliche. But I digress, which is something an alien never does. The only other thing the aliens didn't understand is, why are there so many lonely people? Why didn't they simply pair up, merely get together? The aliens said they could understand one lonely person, like at a dance, arms folded, toe tapping, wanting to dance, but staring bravely at the rest, saying, oh, I'm fine. You guys go have weddings and birthdays and warm backs to cuddle. I'm okay standing alone. The aliens said they could understand one lonely human, but not an army of soups for one in the grocery checkout, not an army of ones renting passion fish or some other dull piece of shit every Friday night in the video store. Those sleeping alone in a 10-year-old shirt, an army of ones brushing their hair for no one, the candleless birthdays, those trying to keep practiced in love with a bird or a dog or simply by remembering, a million lights quietly shutting off. The aliens were almost deafened by the sound of the pages being turned in the books read by the lonely. The aliens were almost murdered by the thought of those waking up to just a clock radio. "Why don't they just get together?" asked the aliens. I didn't know how to explain it to them. "Don't tell anyone we were here," they said. "Who do I have to tell?" After they left, I solved the mystery. The laugh track is for me. The laugh track is for us. The laugh track is there to remind us that we are not alone. I was sitting in a Washington Square hotel. Not the Washington Square Hotel. I was listening to a Bob Seger CD. Someone gave me as a joke, but it's no joke, I like it. Something about today makes me forget all of the steakhouse, small dance floor dancing makes me forget all the co-workers groping. We've got tonight. Yeah, but we've also got families. Jackie, I'm tired of talking to you. How does room service get confused between a clubhouse and a common bowl of oatmeal? Listening to the music, I think I understand what a young, beardless Bob Seger must have lived through. All the cushionless couches at all the sides of the road doesn't seem as sad as you. All the fills in the phone book, all the fish in the sea couldn't keep me company tonight. I am lying on a pile of coats, my face painted happy birthday. It was a conceptual joke, it was nobody's birthday. I was lying on a pile of coats, I was leaving a party early. It didn't work too good because the party was at my house. Some silhouette claimed she was my girlfriend, asked me exactly what was my latest plan for my downstairs 40 friends who sat staring at their thumbs. Who did I think I am? Well, ma'am, I am Bob Seger, lying on some coats. I am Bob Seger. Let 'em come and see what I've accomplished. I am Bob Seger. This is my album cover shot. I am Bob Road Dog Seger. Turn the page. Honey, I think I pissed the bed. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know.
Delightful little tune. So next up, these are actually a couple of songs made by me. The weird origin of this first one is I was trying to come up with some jokes to do for a stand-up submission for Keith Malley's contest this year, and in the end I just decided not to, because I didn't want to be in the running anyway. I didn't want to split any votes. I'd much rather somebody new did it. And someone new would. I mean, it won't be me. It wouldn't have been. But I was having a hard time coming up with jokes. And eventually I decided, why don't I just do some jokes and set them to music in the style of underwear go inside the pants that I'll probably play later. And as like a little test, this is just a weird rambling sort of stream of consciousness I came up with about, well, it's called Brian. And it's because I know a guy from Australia named Brian. Brian Ward, you guys know him. Wardio does his own podcast. You can go check it out. There's links on my page. So I don't know. It was just like, what if I lived in... But it's not about him. It's just about an Australian guy. I just needed a name. And it's just about... well, it's about nonsense, so you can hear it. And this is an old instrumental that I used to have that I just recorded this weird shit and put it to music. And then also with that, I've got another a little weird ramble that my friend Eats Paste made from Texas. And I heard it, and I was like, ah, that's weird and funny. And what if I set that to music also? So I grabbed another one of my old instrumentals, because I have a bunch of them laying around from the olden days when I used to make computer music. And that one is called Snuff Film. So now we'll listen to those weird little songs that I made with Paste.
So I was driving my car the other day, right, and this bitch cuts me off, and I was like, fuck you. So I pull up next to her and go, oi, roll down your window, bitch. And she does, and it's me fucking Mark. And she goes, Brian, you're a fucking pussy. Throws a fucking handful of scorpions in me face. So then as I'm swerving off the road, I yell, oh, I love Australia, as I crash into a tree. And then the paramedics showed up and kicked the fucking shit out of me. As soon as I get out of this hospital, I'm gonna go home and kick the shit out of my mum.
So there I was, bound and gagged, buck naked, reeking a stale beer, sweat, and bad decision. And as she held that gun to my head, I thought, man, this is it. This is the best $20 I've ever spent. Good times, man. Reckless times. We've all had them. But now that I'm 40, I gotta start thinking of taking better care of myself. We're all trying to get healthier. Hell, a buddy of mine is trying to break the internet talking about some bizarre routine for building abs so awesome that his own mom wants to lick him. And good for him. His mom's hot. Hey, riddle me this. What's the difference between a prostate exam and gay ass play? Fuck, I don't know either, but I sure hope my doctor does. He's wanting to give me a digital exam. I mean, come on, what the fuck is that? I'm a technical guy. I got a digital camera. And I promise you, it's never been in anyone's butt. This is a fucking future. We pretended to send a man to the goddamn moon for Pete's sake. We're still shoving fingers up someone's ass to diagnose a health issue? That's quack science! Who's performing these tests? Donald Ducter? I have a gay brother. I'm afraid I might have the gene. I can only hope the doctor has small hands. But he won't, probably. He'll probably have hands the size of dinner plates with great big fucking yellow squash fingers. We both know that this visit is going to end with me bent over the table, sans trousers and vulnerable. I'm afraid he's going to cram his finger up my ass to his elbow and flip some secret switch that's going to make me want to drop everything and fly straight to Colorado so I can tap dance with a senator in an airport bathroom stall. Then from the airport, I'll be bound and gagged again, thrown in the back of a stolen car, and taken for a one-way drive down a dark highway. That's a callback. Then I'm going to find myself in the basement of the White House, chained to a rusty bed frame with the Pope sucking my cock in a snuff film directed by Hunter S. Thompson. And that sucks because we all know there are no sequels in snuff films, right? Well, there's not. You know, I was wrong before. This was the best $20 I've ever spent. I'm paced. Go fuck somebody. I'm done talking.
So I'll probably do some more little songs like that sooner than later, once I get motivated to do so. But this next one, this is a super great one. I just found this song again just the other day. I hadn't heard it in years. It's a guy named Paleface, who they label as anti-folk, though I'd never heard the term anti-folk before Juno came out. And some guy keeps looking at me, but I guess this is weird that I'm talking to myself. Yeah, I don't know. Apparently this guy was friends with Beck back in the day or something. Anyway, his Wikipedia entry pretty much nailed things on the head. They're like, here's this guy. He's been around. He's still around. But he had this one song called Burnin' Rob that got some popularity on college radio. And they got me pegged because that's exactly where I heard it. And that's exactly where I know it from. On CHSR, the old college radio station in my hometown, this one guy always used to play this song. Every week it was the intro song to his show. And it's a fantastic fucking tune. I used to love this thing. It fucking cracked me up. And I did track down another version. He re-recorded it. Slightly better production values, but it just didn't seem as funny the second time. This version is my favorite. It's called Burnin' Rob by Paleface, and it pretty much explains itself. A nice classic I haven't heard in like 10 years, if not more. And it's as fucking awesome today as it was back then.
I bought my favorite record at the local record store. I would have bought a lot, but I didn't have a job. I took it home and I put it on the turntable. It made me wanna kill everybody in the neighborhood. It made me wanna burn and rob, rock and roll made me wanna burn and rob, burn and rob, kill everybody and quit my stupid job. To my mom's room and I stole all of her jewelry. I put it in a paper bag and sold it on the street corner. Then I bought a lot of drugs and I got my sister drunk. Stole the family car and I stuffed her in a trunk. And I drove it off the edge of a cliff and stood there laughing. My dad's checkbook, so I ran off to the bank, took out all the money and I loaded up on crank. Then I went across the country spreading fire and disease, prayed to the devil down on my bloody knees. And I bought another record and committed suicide. Burn and rob, burn and rob, yeah, it was rock and roll that drove me to the other side. Burn and rob, burn and rob, rock and roll made me not believe in God. Burn and rob, burn and rob, don't stop, rock and roll, kill a cop. Burn and rob, riot in the street, punch out everyone you meet. Burn and rob, burn and rob, burn and rob, join a lynch mob. Burn and rob, kill everybody that ever was alive.
Now here's one from The Flight of the Conchords. This is also a very awesome song. Back when me and Matt lived in Vancouver, we went to see this movie called Eagle vs. Shark, just at a random chance, no particular reason, just, I don't know, whatever. We had to go see a movie. It looked kind of weirdly funny. And it was kind of weirdly funny, but I don't know if it was funny enough that I would recommend it to people or that I would watch it twice. It's kind of long. And it was like the weird Napoleon Dynamite sort of awkward comedy. But New Zealand, so everyone talked funny. So then, I don't know, a year later or something, Matt sent me an email and was like, hey, dude, check out this TV show. It's got one of the guys from Eagle vs. Shark. And so I went and downloaded it, and I didn't realize it was an HBO show. I thought it was an actual New Zealand show. So I was like, wow, that's weird. Those guys have a show, and, like, it's funny. Like, I didn't realize New Zealand had all this untapped potential or, like, other countries in general. But it turns out it wasn't really. It was still HBO. They had to come to America to get the show off the road. I'll get back to this.
So anyway, I was saying Flight of the Conchords. So we already knew one of the two Conchord guys. So anyway, I watched the show and it's funny. I liked it. And then it became like this big thing, the hipster thing of the year. You know, you go into the Virgin Megastore and everything's got Flight of the Conchords on it, t-shirts and shit, all kinds of stuff. So anyway, they got this one song called Inner City Pressure that cracks me up. It's just about It's about the inner city pressure, you know, the big city, New York, which fits well with me because I feel that all the time. I'm in a restaurant right now. You can probably hear all the chattering. Let's listen. It's pretty fucking loud and crowded anyway. So, yeah. Inner city life, inner city pressure.
City pressure, the concrete world is starting to get you. The city is alive, the city is expanding. Living in the city can be demanding. You've pawned everything, everything you own. Your toothbrush jar and a camera phone. You don't know where you're going, you cross the street. You don't know why you did, you walk back across the street. Standing in the sitting room, totally skint, and your favorite jersey is covered in lint. You want to sit down, but you've sold your chair, so you just stand there. You just stand there.
Inner city pressure.
Counting coins on the counter of the 7-Eleven from a 6:15 till a 6:45. The manager, Bevan, starts to abuse me. Hey man, I just want some muesli. Neon signs, hidden messages, questions, answers, fetishes. You know you're not in high finance, considering secondhand underpants. Check your mind, how'd it get so bad? What happened to those other underpants you had? Look in your pockets, haven't found a cent yet. Landlines on your walls, have you paid your rent yet?
Inner city pressure. Inner city pressure.
Prostitute, just to pay for your lessons, you're learning the flute. Ladies wouldn't pay you very much for this. Looks like you'll never be a concert flautist.
You don't measure up to the expectation. When you're unemployed, there's no vacation. No one cares, no one sympathizes. You just stay home and play synthesizers.
Gonna record the end of the show outside as I walked home, but it was so cold that I literally forgot to. I just didn't want to do anything. Anyway, now that I'm inside, one more song finishes this off. Another bit of a shorter show, but maybe I'll start doing more shorter shows. I mean, there's still like an hour. That's not bad. It's probably easier to digest than the crazy 3.5 hour fucking epics I was pulling out. So let's just finish with another Bruce McCullough song. This one is a sketch you might recall from Kids in the Hall about being a Doors fan, and set to music, it's even more awesome. And then after that, I'll toss on some Saul Rosenberg from the Jerky Boys, because he's fucking hilarious, and that's it. Goodbye.
Hey man, listen up. I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. You know that new Depeche Mode album? It sucks. You know what? That new Cure album? It sucks. That new Happy Mondays album? I don't know if there is one, but if there is, it sucks. I can say this, because I know, because I'm a Doors fan. And you know, if you want to be a Doors fan, you know what? You might already be one, and you don't even know it. You know? Sort of like being gay. You're walking around, you know, something's up. You just don't know what it is yet. You see, Doors fans aren't made. They're born. I bet right now, in Africa, there's some guy madly beating on a drum. He's one. Or an old lady on a bus, sucking humbugs. She's a rider on the storm, and she don't even know it. I do, because I'm a Doors fan. And if you want to be a Doors fan, don't just go buy a Greatest Hits album either. Greatest Hits albums are for housewives and little girls. If you want to be a Doors fan, you gotta do it right. It's very scientific. You gotta buy Waiting for the Sun. It's their third album, but really, it's their first. We call it The Departure Point. Okay, quick quiz. Who's playing bass? No bass. That's right, the Doors had no bass. You see, the Gypsies had no homes. Don't let that scare you. Let that free you. Let that liberate you. Because when you're free-flying with the Doors, man, you don't need no safety net. If you just scream, Viva la Doors, loud enough for your landlord to start thumping on the wall, then you might, in fact, be a Doors fan. There's one way to know for absolute sure. Get an 8-track tape of L.A. Woman, there's only a few in existence, and steal a car. Even if you own one, steal a car, get in that car, play the tape, full blast, and drive west. When the tape ends, get out and go to the nearest bar and start to play pool or pinball or possibly even foosball and wait to get into a fight. Afterwards, get back in that car and drive it till it runs out of gas. Then, torch it. And if, as you're standing there, watching those flames, if you can still hear the Doors sound, then my friend, you will have become a Doors fan. You want to know how I know? You want to know who told me? Well, last year, Jim fucking Morrison told me that too. He came to me. Cause I'm a Doors fan. I'm a Doors fan, man. Man. I love this sound. I like the Doors.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I bought glasses there. My name is Saul Rosenberg.
Yes.
And my eyes are going crazy.
Okay, well, let me pull your record card. Hold on, please.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Rosenberg, I don't have a record card on you. Where did you buy your glasses? You sure it was here?
Yes, I did. And do you wear glasses?
No, where did you buy them?
At your place then.
What address did you go to?
It's the one right in the city there. I don't quite remember.
Well, there's a lot in the city, and sometimes people get confused. I don't have a record card on you. How long ago did you buy it here?
About 4 days, and my eyes is going crazy.
And Mr. Rosenberg, I don't believe you bought it at this office, because I'm the only one here. I don't wear glasses, and if it was 4 days ago, I would have remembered you. And I don't, and I don't have a record card on you. Did you go to the Empire State Building?
I went to the Empire State Building, and I can't see so good.
So you went to see Dr. King?
Yeah, but he's an asshole. I couldn't see so good from the Empire State Building.
Well, would you like to make an appointment to come in and see us?
I went to the observatory because of these glasses. I can't see, goddammit.
Okay, would you like to come in and see us?
Sure.
Okay. We're at 30 East 60th Street.
3578th Street. Okay.
No. We're 30
Okay.
East 60th Street.
All right. Should I bring all my glasses with me?
You need an examination.
And all my glasses?
Yeah, Mr. Rosenberg, do you need an examination?
Okay.
Do you need an examination?
All right.
Yeah, all right. You need an appointment.
Right. And I'll bring all my shoes and my glasses with me. So I have them.
Mr. Rosenberg.
Sure.
Do you want to see the ophthalmologist?
Right.
You need an appointment.
I'm sorry.
You need an appointment.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. I'll have my girl make an appointment for you to see the doctor. Okay, do you have the address?
Fantastic, then.
You have the address?
Yes.
What room?
Four, I don't know. You say 3587?
No, 30 East 60th Street.
30 East 60th Street. Okay, thank you.
Oh, you need an appointment. Hold on.
Right.
Hello?
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 Barbara?
Yes, I have to make an appointment with you, sir. Where would you like to come in?
Whenever you want me to, honey. Whatever's good for you.
You want to come in tomorrow?
Sure, if you're free.
Yes, okay. You can come in at 12 o'clock.
Okay, honey, baby. All right?
Yes.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Hello, I was hurt at work today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sure, I'll have you speak to an attorney, okay?
Pardon?
I'll have you speak to an attorney.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello, yes, I was hurt at work today.
Yeah, who told you to call me?
Well, I got your ad in the paper.
Okay, can you come to see me?
Well, listen to me, I was very hurt today.
Yeah.
Right. Now, my boss, he reprimanded me and said some very vicious things, and I'm very hurt about
this. What do you mean hurt? You were hurt by his words, or you had an injury?
I sustained an injury, but I was initially hurt with his words.
Yeah. That's a very, very sophisticated type of case you have there. Can you come in to see me?
Yeah, sure, but listen, he said bad, awful things, and I fell down the stairs, and my shoes fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very hurt about this.
Well, you feel hurt, emotionally hurt.
Very, very hurt.
Did you injure your body as well?
Well, my head was bashed apart.
I suggest that you come in to see me about it. We'll file a claim for you.
Okay. All right, then.
You have my address, right?
Sure, I do.
Come in any day of the week between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m.
Right. You know what it's like to be hurt.
Well, of course I do.
And I hate that.
You have to come in to see me so we can file a claim for you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Goodbye.